Good afternoon.
Hey, is this Pierre?
It is.
Hey, this is Stone.
Hey, Stone. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
It's great to have you. And Nick's with me, too. He's going to hop in for a question or two.
Okay, great.
It's 93.3 WMMR here in Philadelphia. I'm Pierre Robert, and Nick is also with us. And we have the pleasure of the company of a member of a rather large band. And a very special occasion that he joins us because tonight Pearl Jam is going to begin streaming a really cool performance. In fact, something dear to our hearts because it's the second of two nights in our town that took place in 2016 at the Wells Fargo Center. It'll run through Sunday the 25th, and people can sign up for it at nugs.net. For $14.99, and a portion of each ticket goes to support the work of the Pearl Jam Vitalogy Foundation. It's about getting people to vote. Ultimately, you can learn more at pearljam.com/vote or text PJVOTES to 52886. Having said all that, it's a great pleasure to welcome our friend Stone Gossard. Good day, Stone.
Yeah, nice to talk to you, Pierre. It's been a while. I hope you're doing all right.
Oh, I'm doing great. It's really great to hear from you. Before we get into the nuts and bolts of what's going to be happening in Pearl Jam World, I'm just fascinated as to what you've been doing during the pandemic, how you've spent your time over the last 6 months.
We've stayed real close to home, and along with everybody else, just sort of getting used to the sort of almost the new normal in terms of mask wearing and hand washing and very limited social interaction, at least in the in person, homeschooling, Zoom, getting on Zoom calls, and just sort of really just trying to remain calm and know these challenges are opportunities to learn and to be exposed to new ideas. So we're just trying to get through it as positively as we can. And luckily for the band, you know, we can navigate it financially. I know that there's a lot of hardship out there, and I want to acknowledge that and just say, you know, this is just, we've got to get through this as a country, and we've got to help support people that have lost their jobs at this particular time. And, you know, it's time to really look at this challenge as a whole country and really take it on together. So I'm hoping that that's what happens, particularly after the next election.
Well, you know, speaking of people out of work, that applies to the entertainment world because there's so many road crews, people who are backstage, behind the scenes,
yep.
Bus drivers, ticket takers, everything. Those folks you might not think of. You might think of a band you haven't seen in concert, but there's a huge network of people behind the scenes also completely without work, and they don't have 401ks, and they don't have...
Yeah.
You know, medical plans for the most part, so our thoughts are also with them.
Absolutely.
I wanted to mention the fact that October 22nd is Pearl Jam's birthday. So first of all, if I might, on behalf of all of us here at MMR, extend a happy birthday to the band. If 1990 was the beginning of the group, that would mean 30 years. Is that correct? Was it 1990?
Yeah, 1990, yeah, right. Into 89, 90 is when we started kind of formulating it. You know, of course, Jeff and I had already been together for a good handful of years before that, so we've really got some years behind us. But yeah, 30 years. It's amazing that much time has passed by, and that we're still a band and still getting into it with each other and trying to write songs and dreaming about doing stuff together. And it's pretty magical, and it's something I definitely don't take for granted. I don't think anyone in the band does in terms of the specialness of it. And I think a lot of it is just due to sort of our commitment to each other and a commitment to the process, you know, of sharing art. We kind of built it into our DNA, you know, that we were going to share songwriting and that we were going to, you know, take it on as a group and not let it devolve into something that was just singular. So we've really done a pretty good job at that, and it's really paid off, I think, for us in the long run, you know. So really, really feel good about the fact that we still got our band.
Well, happy birthday from that first show at the Off Ramp, which was, do you remember that show, by the way, the tonight in 1990 in Seattle, a little club called the Off Ramp? Not sure if it's still there.
I do. I do remember bits and pieces of it, and I remember that, you know, Ed came up. He had I think he put vocals on two or three songs at that point, Alive and maybe Black, and one or two others. And he came up for that week to do some more rehearsals and to see if it was going to work. And we were all, you know, enthusiastic. But Jeff Amon, in his brilliance, said, you know what, we'll rehearse and then we'll just book a show at the end of the week, and that'll give us something to look forward to. Which it threw us into the fire, which is, I think it can be a good thing, is just, you know, sort of setting deadlines for yourself and just saying, hey, go do a show. It doesn't matter if it's perfect or even if it's got more than six songs. Sometimes you got to just get out there and see what happens. And that's worked out for us as well. Just sort of being underprepared sometimes is still okay. And I think you'll probably discover some of that in the Live 10 show where we played, you know, I think that week we played 100 and some odd songs from the catalog, some of which we had actually rehearsed. So,
well, it was interesting because in terms of 10, which brings us to the subject of this live or this streaming series of days, it was March 13th, 1992. The band had been on their first European tour, and it was at Munich at Nachtwerk that you guys played 10 in its entirety, I guess around midway through the set. But flash way forward to these shows at the Wells Fargo Center, and April 29th of 2016 was the second of two evenings there. And so what made it special, obviously, was that you guys performed and opened with the entire album in order, and it hadn't been done since 92. But what I'm curious about is how it came about. I was out earlier in the week with Jeff Gordon of Live Nation and Jim Sutcliffe, and they had been talking as we're having a drink about getting a banner in honor of 10 sold-out shows in South Philly at the various venues.
Yeah.
And the banner appeared between those two nights. But what was it that caused the group? Was it seeing the banner at soundcheck? Was it a group decision? What caused the group to spontaneously decide, I think, that day to do 10?
Yeah, I mean, we aren't known for making plans too early, particularly when it comes to set lists. So I don't remember exactly. I do remember the banner, and I do remember that being sort of the trigger that got us kind of thinking that way. It was really some vision that Ed had where he was like, okay, I got to get a set list done tonight. I look up in the rafters, and there's 10, so we'll just do that tonight. It could have been as simple as that, but it sure turned out right. And I'm still, again, just amazed at that album and sort of the impact it's had and the fact that when we play it like that it means something. So just very thankful about that. And I'm glad it all worked out, that that this show can come out and that we have this relationship with Philadelphia where Philadelphia really cares, you know? It's really something that's not lost on us.
We're speaking with Stone Gossard at 93.3 WMMR of Pearl Jam, and they're going to be streaming this second evening from Philly from 2016 through Sunday the 25th, and you can sign up for it for $14.99 on nugs.net. It's a great deal. It helps to support Pearl Jam Vitalogy Foundation. You can get more information at pearljam.com/vote or text PJ Votes to 52886. Being in the audience that night, Stone, you opened with Once, and you'd opened the night before with Once, and that's kind of unusual for the band.
Yeah.
But it was two or three songs in before the buzz started creeping through the hall. Holy they're doing all of 10. And this electricity, I could just feel it. I'm getting goosebumps even now talking to you about it. I don't know if you could feel that from the audience towards the stage, but it took three or four songs for folks collectively to realize what was happening.
Yeah, no, that's cool. And, you know, it's just too good. We're too lucky to have that feeling. So it's really special. And I'm so happy that the crowd responded the way they did. It's amazing to me that record has that impact.
You know, I didn't even know that you were filming it. I've been at a lot of shows where they film, and you know they're filming for a concert. But there were 11 HD cameras. The whole thing is going to be presented in stereo and a 5.1 digital surround sound mix by Josh Evans, one of the producers. And I didn't see cameras. Did you see cameras, Nick, when you were there that night?
I didn't know until recently that it was going to be filmed.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I don't think anyone in the audience realized it was going to be filmed. And yet, apparently, this film came out really, really well. The quality of the film, in addition to the music, is great.
Well, we're sneaky like that. Sometimes we get a camera package in there without anybody knowing, and we don't talk about it too much, so that's good. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, so I'm hoping it looks good. I'm hoping it sounds good. I've heard that it does, so we'll look for feedback. Write us at pearljam.com and let us know if it sucks or if it's great.
So we've been playing a new song in addition to Gigaton, which we've had for a little while. We've been playing Get It Back from the compilation album, which is a long title, Good Music to Avert the Collapse of American Democracy, a compilation record. We're playing Get It Back. Anything you'd say about that song?
That's a classic Matt Cameron arrangement and song with a beautiful lyric that he wrote and that Ed really, really sang just with the spirit of Matt Cameron all through it, and it's a lovely jam, and I'm happy that we got that on there.
Stone, it's Nick. It's a real pleasure to talk to you again, and it's great that we're talking about something that happened in Philadelphia. For me, you and the band are inextricably linked to the 90s, and I think a lot about the history of the band. I don't know if you think about it as much. Maybe your focus is more on the future, but I think about the things that didn't make it out of the 90s. I'm a kid of the 90s, so, you know, you think about Kurt Cobain and Nirvana and Sean Smith and Layne Staley and Chris Cornell and all of these parts of your life that are sadly no longer with us, and yet you guys have been able to survive. And so, you know, even amongst tensions in Pearl Jam and bands, that there's always going to be tension between you and Ed or whatever. There's this marriage that exists in a band, right? I'm curious as to what your perspective is on that, how Pearl Jam has been able to survive, as Pierre alluded to earlier, for 30 years now.
You know, I think it's just built into kind of what we sort of talked about as a band as we were forming. We didn't have any illusions that it was going to be easy, and we didn't have any illusions that sharing art and collaborating in business and is some kind of cakewalk. It requires compromise. It requires, sometimes you got to be patient. Sometimes you don't get your way. Sometimes you got to just kind of sit tight. Sometimes you sit tight and think, I'm not getting my way, and then you realize 10 years later that it was good that you didn't get your way. So you have those revelations kind of over and over again when you've been around for a long time, or if you're in a marriage, and you sort of, you look at your wife or your husband and you think, God, I'm so thankful that I didn't fly off the handle and do something crazy when I was, you know, feeling left out or, you know, resentful 10 years ago, because I would have missed this moment. You know, I would have missed this looking back and sort of the forgiveness that you have for each other. And really, I think it's as much of a spiritual journey and a sort of a human journey as it is, you know, a political or business journey. So that's the fuel that keeps us going. And now that we've sort of seen it in action and everybody has had a chance to kind of witness its power because of the longevity and because of the road that we've traveled and the fact that we're still supporting each other and we're not giving up or sort of just, you know, becoming nihilists, I think that it's easier all the time to wake up and think, God, I got to keep going. Because remember when it felt shitty 5 years ago or 12 years ago and how it worked out, I got to just believe. And I think that's the nature of where the band's at right now. And I think that's a powerful lesson that we've all learned and think about a lot.
Well, what you're speaking about is community, and you've extended community beyond just the band and the band family into, you know, fan family and the 10 Club and the Vitalogy Foundation, for example. A portion of the tickets from this broadcast go to support the work of the Vitalogy Foundation. What is it exactly, and what does it do?
Well, the Vitalogy Foundation is really a vehicle for the band to raise money and to channel it to nonprofits that that we get connected with, that we're inspired by, and that we're connected to. And I think if you look at our lists of nonprofits that we've given to over the course of the last, 25 years, it's a lengthy list, and it really has a lot of variety, and it really shows the variety of perspectives within the band. So I think as we get older, and as everyone's so blessed in terms of, financially, and that part of what we really want to do is make sure that we're continuing to and expanding on sort of making sure money goes back into the communities where we play on the road. And I think that's, a real specific thing. And that money goes to organizations that we've supported over the years to be consistent with those. And that we keep expanding that nature of making that part of what we do every day, and hopefully inspiring other businesses to kind of make that part of their strategy as well. And, that's the nuts of it.
We're speaking with Stone Gossard here on MMR. And another part of that is actually the fact that Pearl Jam really wants people to vote. You guys have always been active, and you have this PJ Votes 2020 campaign, and there's a three-part pledge you're asking fans to take. Would you tell us what those are?
Yeah, vote early. for sure, vote early. And when you get your ballot, just fill it out and take it to the mailbox or the drop box and get it in line. Inspire or try to get some friends to vote. People that aren't voting, see if you can encourage them to be involved. I think that the baseline for this country, and I think everyone can agree on it, is that we moved away from monarchy. In 1776, we decided that we didn't want to be under the rule of a king in England, and we decided that we were going to go a different route. And I think that route really ultimately involves every person's voice being part of and then having an opportunity to affect change. And I think every vote being counted is a really important part of that. And I think as we move into this next period of history, it's even going to be more important in regards to how, big business and the internet and all of that can sort of tilt the playing field away from that kind of experience. I think right now we really want to try to establish that as a key. So every vote counts. We want to make sure if something happens the day after the election that you call your representatives and make sure that they just count the votes. Just make sure they're counted, all of them. And I think the other, I can't remember the
don't
last.
Don't wait is the third one. Don't wait. Get out
wait.
And do it.
Okay. I think I'm going to, I got my ballot 2 days ago. I filled it out last night, and I'm going to be dropping it off today.
Cool.
If not, or tomorrow morning. So I'll snap a picture and put it up on Pearl Jam Twitter. But it's a big one. We got a big election. So this is the time to kind of get involved. Baseline, just, be active. Get out there.
Yeah, the three-part pledge is vote, recruit friends to vote as well, and don't wait. Do it now. You can get more information at pearljam.com/vote. And speaking of playing, I think you were supposed to be in Europe last summer. And there's a huge article on this concert in the paper today here in Philly and some great photos, including the banner. And then a photo going back to 2009 during those Spectrum shows with Eddie wearing the Rocky boxing gloves.
Wow.
But in terms of concerts, I believe, and I didn't realize that this was to have happened, but we were supposed to have had some Pearl Jam shows somewhere in the fall in Philly. Is that correct?
Yeah, we would have been in swing states all this month. So we had holds on buildings in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Ohio, and I don't know if we had one in Florida or not, but it was sort of all over there. So our plan had been all along that we were going to be out playing shows and getting people registered and reminding them of this opportunity to express themselves and encouraging people to be optimistic about the impact that their voice can have.
For us at MMR, the last two visits from Pearl Jam to Philly were incredibly special. I had worked, and all of us had chimed in the Pearl Jam organization trying to get an interview with Eddie for I don't know how long. And it might have been easier to meet a president or a king or perhaps travel to the moon in a rowboat. Finally, it happened in 2013. Nick and Matt and I got to interview Ed, and we had a great chat. And much to our surprise, and I mean, I was blown away in the encore. During that tour, you came out and did the encore and played a song for the people in the back. So you turned your back on the main audience, and the song was Last Kiss, and Eddie afterwards dedicated it to us. And I sat down in my chair. People are high-fiving me all around, but I started crying. I just was blown away. I'm just curious if you knew that I don't know if you know that he's going to do a shout out. I mean, we didn't expect it. It was mind boggling that somebody like him in a band like yours would do a shout out to a local radio station.
Well, I mean, it's not that huge. He enjoyed the interview. I've watched him do set lists and sort of make notes on his set in terms of like things that are relative to the show and things that are on his mind, and he puts it kind of all down on that set list, and it sort of gives him a place to go to as the show moves along, that he has some markers that he can sort of connect with. So you know, he's a thoughtful guy. He probably had a great interview and was just thinking, I'll give him a shout out. I don't think it was any bigger deal than that, but it's nice that it was so touching. And but that's just the way he operates. He's a thoughtful person, and he's meticulous, and he's really all day long he's thinking about the show, and he's thinking about the set list, and he's thinking about why this show is going to be different than another show. And that's why he's real special. And we're just, you know, that's a big part of our success is his that detail, you know.
Well, it's interesting because the night before, funny you mentioned that, is when I got to sit down with him, and I was just telling him about the station, that it's been on the air since 1968, and we're live and local all the time, and we take requests from people, and we play them, and we keep people company, and we do a lot of charity work, and it's one of the only surviving stations that could say something like, you know, we played the White Album when it was new. And every time I'd say something, he'd reach over into this journal that was on the coffee table as he and I were having a glass of wine, and he'd write something, and I go, what is he doing?
Yeah.
And then a lot of that came back the next night in the shout out. And I was absolutely floored.
And Pierre, that's really an amazing thing that the station does that. And that you really, I mean, as shocking as it is that you taking requests is a cool thing. It's so rare, you know, it's so rare in this world that gets fully automated and sort of market tested, that there's an opportunity for spontaneity and risk taking and failure. You know, all of it has to kind of be part of the equation in terms of why something connects with you. And part of it is just the humanity of a radio station sort of just getting into whatever they want to get into and taking their listeners along for a ride sometimes. So great job with that. And I hope you guys can continue to do that well into the future. And my guess is that at some point stations are going to start doing more of that because it's just better.
We're one of the few stations, Stone, that has a live overnight show. We're live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. A lot of stations, even rock stations, tape, you know, anywhere from 7 p.m. on to midnight on, and we have live people. And why wouldn't we take a request? Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you do that? But I want to flash forward, because I know you got to go, but to the show that's going to be airing now, the April 29th, 2016 show, because we're now 52 years of age at this radio station. But on our 48th birthday, our birthday is April 29th, which was the second show, and which is the show that's going to be streaming at the 10 show. I didn't get a chance to say hi to you. None of us got to say hi to any of the band. I had sent a few texts here and there, but lo and behold, I didn't know that Eddie even knew it was our birthday. And not only did he wish us happy birthday, he went into Let the Records Play, you guys did, and Spin the Black Circle. And he gave us two or three shout-outs and wished us happy birthday and again said hi to Nick and Matt and Pierre. Again, blown away. 3 years later.
He poured it on.
He did. He even imitated a DJ. This is WMMR Radio as he went into Spin the Black Circle. And we do play vinyl still here, too. So I couldn't believe it because none of us had even gotten to say hi to you. And he still remembered.
Yeah, that's cool.
I know you've got to go. This town, needless to say, loves you. Anything quick you want to add, Nick?
To echo what Pierre was saying, this could happen in any town in anywhere in the world, Stone, but it's not lost on Philadelphia how much the band means to us and how much we think that we mean to you guys. And so thank you for all of the love over the years for the radio station, but in particular for Philadelphia.
It's tangible. You know, Philadelphia has been consistently enthusiastic in a way that almost no other place has for this band. So really appreciate that. And it's definitely not lost on the band that when we come to the Eastern Seaboard, Philly's on the list, and we all know when we're stepping out there that we've got something to live up to, and we've got to we want to just express our gratitude about that, and try to live up to the the level of support that we've got. So we will be back, and we will be playing shows again. It might be a little while, but. I can't wait. I know the band can't wait to step out on a stage again in Pennsylvania, and really it'll be a special moment to kind of look around and kind of go, we all just went through this. So.
and we made it. The show is going to be from 2016 on MMR's birthday when they play all of 10 is going to be streamed from this evening, which is Pearl Jam's birthday, through Sunday the 25th. People can sign up for it at $14.99 on nugs.net. Portion of each ticket goes to support the work of the Pearl Jam Vitalogy Foundation. Learning more, you can do so at pearljam.com/vote or text PJVOTES to 52886. Get out and vote. Stone Gossard from Pearl Jam, thank you so much for spending some time. It's been a long time since we've had you, so sorry to take you a little bit longer, but we don't get you that often.
Nick, Pierre, thank you so much.
Great to talk to you, man. All the best.
All right, we'll see you guys soon, I hope.
All right, take
care.
Thanks, Stone. Bye-bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.